This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, November 22nd, 2010. I'm Caleb Brown. TSA's body scanners cost us liberty. They demand blind adherence to government in the name of security. And the security gains are small. The imposition is quite large. David Ritgers, legal policy analyst at the Cato Institute, offers his thoughts.
The first thing we have to keep in mind with body scanners is that it is not clear that they're going to do everything that the government is saying that they're going to do. In the wake of the Christmas Day 2009 attempted bombing perpetrated by Farouk Abdulmutallab, the GAO conducted a review of the technology and in March 2010 released a report saying it's not clear that it would have found his bombs. The body scanners are very good when it comes to high-density items, but not very good when it comes to low-density items. So if you want to take a wild stab at what his bomb was made of, low-density items and any kind of liquid powder or gel inside a thin plastic container will not stand out like the images of guns on the stock photos that we've seen of this technology. There is a marginal gain if you're talking about non-metallic, high-density objects. So if it's a synthetic carbon knife, then that would be a significant gain. But the hijacking threat is really not what these are directed at. They're not advertised so much as a hijacking prevention technology, but as a liquid explosive detection technology.
And it's not clear that those would be detected.
No, it is not clear. And in the GAO report, they said it's not clear that this would have found, even if Abdulmutallab had gone through the security checkpoint, that this would have succeeded in finding that. We also have to, even if we waived that argument and stipulated that they found all of the low-density materials involved in explosives, the same organization that supported Abdulmutallab's attempted bombing on the Christmas Day run, they've already found another technology that gets around this, another technique, and that is to hide explosives inside a body cavity. And they've actually used this. A would-be Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, the organization that sponsored Abdulmutallab, a would-be assassin from that organization tried to kill the senior Saudi counterterrorism official, and he had a bomb secreted in a place where only a proctologist would find it. Hidden inside the body, that does not do damage with the amount of explosives that he had to anyone else, not fatal damage anyway to anyone else, but the carrier of the explosives. But if an enterprising terrorist is willing to secret a certain amount of explosives in a body cavity and then go to the bathroom while they're in flight, remove it and put it against the hull of the aircraft, well, that's a different story. So in terms of like military history parallels, the choice to impose these scanners is the equivalent of the French knowing, having a copy of German Blitzkrieg war plans to go around the Maginot Line, and then deciding to build it anyway. We know that it can be sidestepped, but why are we going to commit and spend all of this money to do it anyway?
And like a lot of security measures, I think a lot of people just sort of assume that terrorists or other people that want to do us harm aren't actually going to be actively thinking about ways around the piece of technology in question.
Well, and it's clear that we are, facing an adaptive foe that's going to look for the weak points in security. And returning to that March GAO report, they said it's not clear. The GAO said it's not clear that this technology would provide the promised benefit. But two other areas where we should look at revising TSA procedures is, number one, in the screening of personnel that are cleared to the backside of aviation security. And number two, cargo packages that are bundled and put on passenger aircraft. Well, what is the latest scare? Toner cartridges that have been put into parcel services and then bundled and found their way in a pallet on passenger aviation flights. This risk was identified 8 months ago, and yet right now we're jumping through hoops to address that while we've committed to spending, well in excess of $1 billion to put this scanner technology really in what I see as a measure of security theater. And really, this is symptomatic of much of our counterterrorism spending. We're spending money on something that's very visible, but maybe not the avenue of attack that the people that we're trying to protect against can get the biggest bang for their buck, so to speak.
There's an obvious loss of liberty here, but it seems that people are given essentially two disagreeable options when flying if they're going to opt out of this scanner technology.
Yes, and anecdotally, all of the reports on the internet seem to enforce the image that this is a punitive regime, that if you opt out of the body scanner, then you will receive an unwanted, let's be honest, a sexual assault level of pat-down when you go through the magnetometer and then get an additional pat-down afterwards. And I think that to let the impetus to spend this money become the prime mover for what we do at aviation security checkpoints is really a tragedy, and we shouldn't let the commitment to spend money on this technology be the driving force for what level of privacy that we have at a checkpoint, especially in an instance, as I've said, where it's not clear that these machines, the body scanner machines, are going to detect the things that we say they're going to detect. And when we look at the cost is not just a one-time purchase. Not just the $300 million in stimulus money and the other ramped-up appropriations within Homeland Security funding, but the sustaining costs, we're going to match and exceed by a bit that $300 million commitment annually, because you need additional screeners to run the machines. So we're going to have to expand the TSA workforce by a little over 10%, add 5,000 screeners to the TSA screening workforce. And this comes at a time when the bipartisan debt commission is saying, we're going to have cuts across the board, across the whole of government. We're going to have to reduce, ballpark about 2,000 FBI special agent positions. So at the same time that the people who are talking about fiscal restraint and fiscal sanity are saying we're going to have to cut a couple thousand FBI special agent positions just to support this expanded, unproven technology, we're going to add 5,000 people who, for all intents and purposes, are adding only hassle at the airport, and that's taking the front seat in the fact that we're going to shed people who actually go out and catch terrorists. That's a misplaced set of priorities.
David Ritgers is a legal policy analyst at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.